weekend here with us with some spoken word entertainment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
October 14th, 8:47 a.m. It was shaping up to be a pretty typical day at the 18th Precinct, or at least it was until I actually got there. Romano, sorry I'm late. I did drop the Kreuzinger case file off at the DA's office.
Well, we somehow managed to keep the place running without you.
Well, just shows you that I trained you right. And what's on the docket for today?
New case. Missing person. Reported anonymously last night. Found a file on him.
File? Christ's sakes, looks like War and Peace.
It gets better.
Alvaro de la Cuevas, born Barcelona, April 23rd, 1917. For Pete's sakes, will you look at the rap sheet on this joker? Larceny, extortion, assault and battery, bank fraud, narcotics trafficking.
Yeah, he'd be a great one for me to take home to Mother.
I met your mother. She'd have his guts for garters.
That she would.
Not hard to see why someone want to make this one disappear. Hardest part's going to be narrowing the list of potential suspects down.
So, are we working under the assumption that he's missing, and not just missing?
Oh, yeah. Dollars to donuts, this case ends up with a dredging of the Schuylkill.
I'm not taking that bet.
Like I said, I trained you right. Now, do we have a current address for La Cuevas?
Nope. But we do have an address for one Harry Zakarian. He's listed as De La Cuevas' business partner in Transatlantic Imports.
An import firm. Original. Might as well put a neon sign out front. Illegal goods sold here.
Probably not zoned for neon.
Is there even an address on record for Transatlantic Imports?
Of course not.
Then Zakarian it is. Where does he live?
325 Domino Lane, Roxborough. Near the Tower Farm.
Okay, well let's have a look at Mr. Zakarian's file and then take a trip uptown to Roxborough. Well, it didn't take long to find out that Zakarian's rap sheet was long enough to give De La Cuevas a run for his money. But scumbag or not, he was a good place to start as any, so we headed uptown to Roxborough to start off our investigation. You weren't kidding about it being close to the Tower Farm.
Picking up KYW on your fillings?
If you hear 16 tons coming out of my ears, you'll know. This is it. 325 Domino Lane.
Cozy.
Yeah.
You Harry Zakarian?
Who's asking?
Police! Sergeant Morrissey. This is Detective Romano.
Let's see some ID. Hold it up to the peephole.
Okay. What do you want?
We're investigating a missing persons report. Just want to ask you a few questions, is all.
Sorry. Can't be too careful in this neighborhood.
Yeah, some criminal lowlife could walk through that door at any time.
Romano. The missing man is your business partner, Alvaro de la Cuevas. You don't seem surprised.
De la Cuevas is not a nice person.
Look who's talking.
What's that supposed to mean?
I can read a rap sheet.
Romano.
Hey, I'm nothing like De La Cuevas.
Meaning what? Romano. What's the address for the transatlantic imports again? We must have one on them, because it would be a violation of their commercial business license if they didn't have a physical address.
Can't seem to find it here.
Oh, that's too bad. Now the Department of Licenses and Inspections will have to investigate. You know how those guys are.
Yeah, nothing if not thorough.
Wait a second. You do have a commercial business license, don't you?
Meaning he deals in stuff that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Dope?
People.
Sex trafficking?
Worse.
Worse than forced prostitution? Listen, and listen good. You got one chance to start talking. Otherwise, there are going to be a lot of questions asked about transatlantic and about your personal involvement in whatever dirty dealings De La Cuevas and you have been up to. Do you get my drift?
Yeah. Roll or be rolled over. De Las Cuevas is running a child adoption racket, selling little kids to whoever's got the greenbacks. And he's not fussy about where he gets the kids, if you know what I mean.
Are you telling us he's stealing children from their families?
From wherever he can get what he needs. Like I said, De Las Cuevas is not a nice person.
They need names, clients.
Can't help you.
Zakarian.
Look. I didn't want to know anything about that garbage. You may find this hard to believe, but even a four-time loser has some morals.
You're right. I do find it hard to believe.
Can you give us anything?
He mentioned something about meeting some broad last night to make a delivery. A real swell, high society type. The name of Barber, I think. Yeah. Babs Barber.
Thank you for your cooperation, Mr. Zakarian. Let's go, Romano. If you're involved in this adoption racket, I will find out. Count on it. A couple of phone calls later, we head up to Fox Chase in Northeast Philly to talk to a certain socialite.
Would you look at that view?
That's Burholm Park down there. We're on one of the highest overlooks in Greater Philly.
Barber residence.
Yes, Mrs. Barbara in?
Mrs. Barber is indisposed.
It'll just take a few minutes of her time. Police business.
Very well, sir. Wait here.
I've gotten warmer receptions at the morgue.
Yeah.
I still think Zakarian knows more than he's letting on.
Maybe.
If Mrs. Barber turns out to be a dead end, we should bring him in.
We'll see.
What do you want? I'm very busy.
Mrs. Barber, I'm Sergeant
Moore. I know all that. My butler informed me.
Okay. Well, we need to ask you a few questions.
Ask them and be done with it. I'm entertaining guests, and you are wasting my time.
Do you know Alvaro de las Cuevas? Well?
Vulgar little man.
So, that would be a yes, then.
That vulgar little man went missing 2 days ago.
So?
Well, we were wondering if you might know something about that.
Why in the world should I?
Because you and De La Cuevas had a business transaction to complete last night. Only he never showed up. Did he?
Or maybe he did.
Romano.
Yeah, he did show up. And when he did, Mrs. Barber had him whacked, so he couldn't implicate her in their dirty little deal.
What? How dare you?
Romano!
She's in it up to her eyeballs.
I've had quite enough of this. I'm calling my attorney.
Good! That'll meet us at the 18th precinct in about 45 minutes.
Better make it an hour. Rush hour traffic.
You don't mean you expect me to go down to the police station with you, like some common criminal.
Why not? You are a common criminal.
Adoption fraud is a felony, Miss Barber.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't play dumb with us. We know what you and De Las Cuevas were up to.
I... I had no idea he wasn't a licensed adoption agent.
Yeah, he's not listed in the phone book, which means you went to a lot of trouble to find him.
Well, a friend recommended his services.
Oh, so you have a friend who bought a stolen child? We'll be wanting your friend's name and address, Mrs. Barber.
You're wasting your time, Romano. We're just gonna have to cuff her and take her downtown. I can only imagine what her guests will say. Bound to end up in the society column. Unless, of course, Miss Barber is smart enough to answer a few questions for us. After that, she's free to go back to her guests.
All right. Ask and be done with it.
You were to meet De La Cuevas last night. Where?
He didn't say. He telephoned around 7 o'clock and said he'd let me know where to meet him at 9.
Any idea where he telephoned from?
No. Though I did hear one of those annoying amusement park contraptions in the background.
A merry-go-round?
Ugh, yes. That awful music, just playing over and over and over.
What about the child that he was planning to sell you? Boy? Girl?
A girl.
I'm assuming that he showed you a picture. Describe her.
Beautiful little Spanish girl. About 4. Named Lupe Marie, I think. Ugh, of course I would have to rename her.
Oh, of course.
But that hair, that complexion, those high cheekbones. She would have made a perfect accessory.
Excuse me?
An accessory. Like a handbag or a bracelet.
What a vulgar comment.
You can say that again.
I merely meant that the child would have been a lovely addition to the household during social gatherings, and particularly around the holidays. At least so long as she didn't act too much like a child.
Mrs. Barber, thank you. You have been most helpful.
Sergeant, don't make the mistake of thinking this is over. My husband has a lot of pull at City Hall. I'll have your badge for this.
Well, on days like this, you'd be welcome to it. Come on, Romano. With that, we headed back to the 18th precinct and started making some calls. But I think Harry Sakarian might have been working the phones ahead of us. Was it my little warning to him? Not sure. But whatever the cause, the effect was to have a visitor show up at our door right before Ramon and I knocked off for the day.
Sergeant Morrison?
Yes. How can I help you?
My name? Luisa González. I clean De Las Cuevas.
Please, sit down.
My English? Not good.
Español?
Sí.
Habla en español.
Gracias.
You speak Spanish?
Some, but I speak fluent Italian and the languages share some similarities. I should be able to follow her. Habla, Señora González.
I... Yo maté a Armand de las Cuevas. Trató de llevarse a mi niña y... Y le maté.
What did she say?
Well, she said she worked for De la Cuevas and she's very concerned about him.
Are you sure? We can get a translator if she has a statement to give.
No, I'm fine. Wait, where did you serve in the war? Not Italy, right?
No, I was in the Pacific.
Okay, good. Go on.
Yo trabajaba para el señor de las cuevas como señorita de la limpieza. Él era amable conmigo, pero sobre todo con mi pequeña. Nos llevaba a las películas, al parque, a patinar. Ayer por la noche nos llevó a Woodside Amusement Park. Fui al baño y cuando volví, se habían ido. Empecé a buscarles por todos los lados y les vi yendo al Cutthroat Cove Ride. Les seguí. Y pillé a De las Cuevas intentando sacar a mi hija por la puerta de atrás. Les intenté parar. Me pegó. Me tiró al suelo. Se dio la vuelta y le pegué en la cabeza con una roca grande. No quería matarle. Estaba tan asustada.
Que esté bien. Puede dejar.
¿Qué?
Inmediatamente.
Gracias. Muchas gracias.
What the heck just happened?
Well, she didn't have any information that we didn't already know. She told me that De La Cuevas was supposed to meet some woman at the amusement park last night, and when she didn't see him all day today, she got worried and came down here.
And that's all?
Yes. Like I said, nothing we didn't already know.
Okay. Wait, did you get an address for De La Cuevas from her? I mean, if she's his cleaning lady, she must know that.
No. I didn't think to ask. Sorry.
It's okay. It's been a long day. We'll try Cigarin again tomorrow, see if we can get a little more from him one way or the other. Yeah, that's enough for today. Wanna grab a bite?
Sorry, no. I've got plans. Take a rain check?
Sure thing. Good night.
Good night.
A hunch isn't admissible in court. It's not even something you can probably explain to another person. But sometimes, it's all a detective has to go on. And so it was that I found myself up in Fairmont Park later that evening, following a hunch that led to the decaying facade of the Woodside Amusement Park. But I wasn't the only detective who seemed to be playing a hunch. Evening, Romano.
Morrissey, what are you doing here?
Oh, just catching the night air and a few turns on the Ferris wheel. Helps me relax after a long day on the job.
Oh, yes, me too.
Funny you should come all the way up here, though. Isn't your place a lot closer to Willow Grove?
Well, it is, but this holds a sentimental attachment. My parents used to take me here all the time when I was a kid.
Did they ever take you on the Cutthroat Cove ride?
No. They said I was too young. What makes you ask that?
Well, because you were just in there for almost 90 minutes, and you came out on foot, not in your boat.
You've been following me?
Not exactly, but when I saw you arriving here at the same time I did, following you seemed to be the prudent next step. Cat got your tongue?
I didn't think you spoke Spanish.
I don't. But I served on Guam and the Marianas long enough to learn the Spanish word for killed. And anyway, Woodside Amusement Park didn't require much translation. So, why don't you just tell me what exactly she said?
Okay. Miss Gonzalez was De La Cuevas' cleaning woman, yes. But he also showed a personal interest in her. And especially in her little girl.
Let me guess. Her name is Lupi Marie.
Yeah. She said that De La Cuevas was very good to them. Oh, he would take them to the movies, roller skating, pony rides, whatever struck the fancy of a four-year-old girl.
To gain their confidence.
Yes. They were here the night before De La Cuevas was reported missing. Miss Gonzalez needed to use the restroom, and she left Lupe Marie with De La Cuevas. When she came out, she saw the two of them getting on the Cutthroat Cove ride.
Which the little girl was far too young for. Probably figured it was a nice, out-of-the-way place to separate mother and daughter. He could take the kid out the service exit you used, cook up some cock and bull story about how she ran off, then hand her over to Babs' barber.
Yeah, that was my guess too. Only Miss Gonzalez caught him in the act. There was a struggle. In desperation, she caved the back of De La Cuevas' skull in with a rock. Horrified, she left the body there and ran off with her daughter.
And she was afraid to tell the police what happened for fear she wouldn't be believed. Understandable. Still, it wouldn't have taken 90 minutes for you to confirm her story.
It didn't.
Well?
Well, I had to think long and hard about it. Is De La Cuevas' death worth ruining the lives of two innocents?
That's not what we get paid to decide, Irene.
I know. But if my conscience is the price to be paid for making sure a little girl doesn't have to grow up without a mother, I'm willing to pay it.
It could be a lot pricier than that. An obstruction of justice charge could cost you your badge, if not more. So what did you do?
Have you ever been on the Cutthroat Cove, Rod?
Years ago. It's kind of got a haunted pirate ship theme, right?
Yeah, there are mannequins placed all through the length of it, made up to look like they came straight from Davy Jones' locker. Rotting, bloody, worm-eaten corpses. Well, at first I thought about trying to dispose of De La Cuevas's body. You know, maybe weigh it down and dump him in the channel. But the water's only chest deep. Trying to slip the body out in this crowd was out of the question.
So is he still there?
Kind of. Come on, I'll show you. Two, please. Thank you.
How far in did you hide him?
I didn't hide him at all.
Didn't hide him? You mean...
Up ahead. Third from the right.
And the tricorn hat? And the beard?
Yeah.
Good God, hidden in plain sight.
The park is closing permanently next week. It's being demolished in the spring. By the time anyone finds De La Cuevas, if they find him at all, there will be no way of tying Miss Gonzalez to his death. She and Lupe Marie will be safe. So, what are you gonna do?
You know, by hiding De La Cuevas's corpse, you become Mrs. Gonzalez's accessory. The perfect accessory. And I guess I'm gonna be yours. Let's get out of here.
So ends The Perfect Accessory by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Kin Schreiner was Sergeant Jake Morrissey. Susan Eisenberg was Detective Irene Romano. David Collins was Harry Zakarian. Adrian Wilkinson was Babs Barber. Athusina Duran was Luisa Gonzalez. And Steve Moulton was the butler. I'm Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
And longest-running international art book fair is back, baby! The Vancouver Art Book Fair returns to the Vancouver Art Gallery, opening with a members preview and reception on October 13th. The fair runs from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, and it is totally free. and open to the public, showcasing the work of over 100 publishers and artists through exhibitor booths, hourly talks, performances, and artists' projects. So come to the Vancouver Art Gallery October 13th to 15th if you want to see books, magazines, zines, chapbooks, and print ephemera from New York, Toronto, Montreal, Kaunas, Mexico City, Dubai, Stockholm, and so many more places.
Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-minus one.
Tonight, the time is June 25th, 1962. The place, a lonely beach. The story, Saucer of Loneliness by Theodore Sturgeon.
My name is Jason Bernayades. I'm a newspaper reporter, 31 years old. I write poetry, but I don't show it to anybody because they might laugh. And the things I write about are very important to me. I was an only child. I never went with girls much because I'm too ugly and too sensitive. And they used to hurt me. I live alone. It isn't much fun. I'm not painting this picture of myself to get sympathy. I don't need it. But it's important that you should know the kind of person I am. Otherwise, you won't understand what I'm going to tell you. It happened tonight, the thing I'm going to tell you about. Tonight, the 25th of June, 1962. I was down on the beach.
Hey, mister! Hey, mister!
What is it, kid?
You seen a cop around any place?
On this beach?
I found this pile of clothes down near the rocks. A lady's dressing and shoes.
Well, did you see anybody? A girl?
Well, I think so, but she was running along the sand in the moonlight. I yelled to her, but she just kept running, and then I found these.
Look, kid, you go try to find a cop someplace. I'll see if I can find the girl.
Okay.
I thought to myself, she's dead. I'll never find her now in this white flood of moonlight with the surf seething in over the pale sand. I ran and ran until my knees buckled and went down in the swirl of it, the sea on my lips, with the taste of tears, and the whole white night shouted and wept. And then I saw her, waist deep, walking into the surf.
Stop. Stop it. Come back. Come on, come out.
Let go. Let me go.
Don't do it. Please don't.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
No. I'm going to have to hit you. Forgive me.
I hit her in the neck with the edge of my hand, and she slumped. I brought her ashore and carried her to where a dune was between us and the water. Then I rubbed her wrists. She had a pale, beautiful face with ancient, bottomless blue eyes. She opened them and looked at me after a moment. It's all right. Here, put my coat over you.
Why couldn't you leave me alone?
I couldn't.
Why?
Because it's important to me.
I suppose you want to know why I did it.
If I told you I understand, would you believe me?
How could you understand?
Maybe I know what it means to be lonely.
That.
That's it, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm so terribly tired.
Put your head against my arm and just stay. Don't be afraid. I've been looking for you for a long time.
Looking for me?
All my life.
How did you know? I don't believe you.
It's true. I found your message.
Oh?
So you see, there's nothing to be afraid of. Not anymore. Just rest. The moonlight is terribly white.
Yes. I'd like to rest for a while.
She didn't remember it, of course. But I was one of the reporters who had covered the story when it first happened, 5 years ago. I'll never forget that day. I was working the police blotter. It was a quiet summer afternoon when they brought her in. Two big cops in blue uniforms.
Come on now, girlie, come on.
Let me go. I haven't done anything.
Take it easy now.
What's the trouble, Connolly?
Disturbing the peace, Sergeant.
Is this that Central Park call?
Hey, this is it.
I thought you radioed that there was a near riot up there.
Oh, you should have seen the place.
All right, give me the report.
Well, me and Bennett got up there, and there was a mob of people all surrounding this girl, see? So we bust through, and there in the middle of maybe 600 people, she's lying there, sort of in a faint. I asked a couple of people what the difficulty was, and they tell me it's the flying saucer.
The what?
The flying saucer.
What flying saucer?
Let me finish, Sergeant. What flying saucer, I ask. And then they says that this girl was standing on the green, and suddenly the saucer comes down and starts whirring over her head like a halo.
What is this, miss? A gag?
It happened.
It did, eh? Well, now suppose you tell me your version.
I was standing in the park, and I looked up, and there it was.
Describe it.
It was beautiful. It was golden with a dusty finish, like an unripe Concord grape. It made a faint sound, a chord of two tones, and it circled over my head like some great round hummingbird.
Go on.
Well, other people must have seen it because they were all looking at me and pointing. I saw one man cross himself, and then it came down and touched me. And spoke to me.
This flying saucer spoke to you?
Yes.
And just what did it say to you? I said, what did it say?
I can't tell you.
A secret, huh?
Yes.
I see. Connolly, this girl is for Bellevue.
Well, Sergeant, the plain fact is that it happened just like that. And 10 witnesses all agree it did.
Are you trying to tell me that there was such a thing as this whirring hummingbird of a saucer?
Oh, there was that, Sergeant.
And just how do you know, Connolly?
Well, we've got the thing out in the squad car.
You what?
Bennett's bringing it in right now, see? About 36 inches across it is, and covered with strange markings.
Great, Mother, did you call the bomb squad?
I didn't think of it.
Well, think of it, man. This may be some kind of atomic weapon.
I'll turn it over to ballistics.
Never mind about ballistics. Call the FBI and tell them we've got this thing.
Yes, sir. What about the girl?
We'll book her on disturbing the peace. I've got a feeling the government men may want a word with her.
Sergeant.
What is it, Benitez?
I'd like to do a story on this for my paper. Could I have a look at the saucer?
We'd better clear it first.
Well, could I talk to the girl?
After she's been booked.
Connolly, is the crowd still up at the park?
Very likely.
Well, I'll run up there and get some eyewitnesses. Then I'd like to come back and talk to the girl. Up at the park, they were still buzzing about it. Some said she was a communist agitator. Some said it was a flying saucer from Mars and she had stepped out of it. Others said she was a saint and it was her halo. I took some notes, phoned the paper, and went back downtown to talk to her. But there were a couple of agents with her, and they wouldn't let me in.
time.
Now then, miss, you told the sergeant this saucer spoke to you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did it speak to you in English?
I don't know.
You did understand it, though?
Yes.
Do you speak any other languages?
No.
Tell me, what message did you receive from this instrument?
Wasn't anything, really.
Suppose you tell me.
I'd rather not.
Miss, let me be very frank. I'm not a policeman. I'm a security agent. That means that I deal with problems that affect the security of our country. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, we've examined this flying saucer enough to know that it is not of American manufacture. It also possesses an extremely high radioactive count. Now, that means that it was made in an area where radioactive materials are in great abundance, such as an area where atom bombs are made. That's why we want to know the message you received from the saucer.
There was no message.
You just made it up.
Yes.
I'm afraid you're lying. Suppose we have some soldiers bring the saucer in here and hold it over your head. Would you object?
I don't care what you do.
All right, boys, bring it in. Now, when I tell the men to hold it over your head, you try to recall what it said.
I don't know what it said.
Lift it up, boys. Hold it right over her head. It's talking to you now, isn't it?
Yes.
What is it saying? What did it say? All right, boys, crate it up and send it down to the National Research Laboratories.
Right. What about the girl, sir?
We'll get nothing out of her. I don't believe she really knows what that humming noise is. Better have a psychiatrist examine her.
Yes, sir.
They took her to the city hospital, and she had a room to herself. Whenever the door opened, she could see the policeman outside. The door opened quite often. There were a lot of important people, some in army uniforms, who came up from Washington just to see her and talk to her. Apparently, they had analyzed the flying saucer and discovered something that made this girl about the most important person in the country. I used to stand outside, and I could identify the heads of certain security agencies, but nobody would answer the questions that the reporters shot at them.
Sir, excuse me?
Yes?
I'm Jason Benayades from the Trib. I've been assigned to this flying saucer story as chief of the security...
I'm sorry, I have no comment.
Can you tell me how long the girl will be held?
That's a matter for the civil authorities.
Well, have the psychiatrist...
Excuse me, Mr. Benayades. My car's waiting.
A few days later, she was released from the hospital and returned to the court to be tried on the disorderly conduct charge. They found her guilty and fined her $15 and turned her loose. When she walked out of the courtroom, she was handed a subpoena to appear before a congressional committee in private session. She answered all their questions except one. My paper sent me over to cover the hearings.
Now, young lady, I want to remind you that I'm a senator of the United States and empowered by the people of this country to ask questions relating to matters of security. You understand?
Yes.
Your name is Janet Boyce, is it not?
I told you that.
Now, at an earlier session, you testified that as a young girl, you were a member of a certain organization in your neighborhood. Would you name it?
The Rinky Dinks.
Who comprised the Rinky Dinks, Miss Boyce?
It was just a bunch of girls who got together to play field hockey and listen to recordings.
Any particular recordings?
Mostly Eddie Fisher.
I see. Now, this flying saucer, you said it talked to you. You did say that, didn't you?
Yes.
And then you denied it?
Yes.
Why?
Because I was tired of answering questions.
Young woman, let me put something to you squarely. Oh, by the way, I think if there are members of the press here, I can divulge a rather spectacular piece of information to you. This flying saucer has been thoroughly examined and analyzed, and I wish to inform the people of this great nation that it definitely, I repeat, it definitely did not originate on this planet. Now then, Miss Boyce, consider that it is possible that our Earth might be attacked from outer space by beings much stronger and cleverer than we are. And consider that perhaps you have the key to our defense against those beings. Don't you owe it to the world?
I don't think I owe anything to anybody.
Even if the Earth was not attacked, just think what an advantage it would give this country over its enemies. Young woman, I ask you, what did that flying saucer say to you? Do you know that what you're doing is tantamount to working for the enemies of your country. I will give you one more chance. What was the message?
It was personal.
Gentlemen, I move that Miss Janet Boyce be cited for contempt.
The furor was fantastic. The chief of security blasted the senator for divulging secret information about the origin of the flying saucer, and the senator said the people had a right to know, and besides, he was just guessing anyway, and happened to guess right. Meanwhile, the press printed the girl's picture all over the front page and ran banner headlines such as, "Girl refuses to betray Martian secrets. Flying saucer girl won't talk, cited for contempt." The contempt trial was equally spectacular. She didn't plead any amendment or anything. She just said the saucer was talking to her and it was nobody else's business. She was convicted and sentenced to 5 years in prison. Benaiades. Yes, Chief. For the Sunday supplement? What do you think there's anything in it? Okay, whatever you say. Mike, get me everything you can on that flying saucer girl, will you? Yeah, the one that was sent to jail about 4 years ago. See if you can find out what she's doing now. She was released about 6 months ago, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah, the boss wants a feature for the Sunday supplement. Okay. I found out she had gotten a job cleaning at night in offices and stores down near the beachfront. There weren't many to clean, but that meant there weren't many people to remember her face from the newspapers. I tracked her down and caught up with her in a one-arm coffee joint about 4 in the morning. Excuse me, miss. Do you mind if I sit here?
No.
Nice night, isn't it? Moonlight and everything.
Which are you? Security, newspapers, or just somebody out for a good time?
You're pretty bitter, aren't you?
Shouldn't I be?
Yeah, I guess you should. My name is Jason Benaiades. I'm with the newspaper.
It's been nice meeting you. I have to go now.
Just a minute.
Please.
I can't blame you.
How did you find me?
One of the leg men located your mother. I talked to her earlier tonight.
Oh. How is she?
It's still hitting the bottle. The way she knew where you were, you sent her some flowers on her birthday, remember?
Yes. She wouldn't talk to me. Said she didn't want a daughter who was a jailbird.
Tell me how it's been.
So you can write about it?
I promise you, I won't write anything you don't want me to write.
Okay. You want to know how it's been? Right after I got out of jail, I met a man at a restaurant. Nice man. He asked me for a date. I spent every cent I had on a red handbag to go with my red shoes. They weren't the same shade, but anyway, they were both red. And I was very excited about the date. We went to a movie. Afterward, he didn't even try to kiss me or anything. He just wanted to know what the flying saucer had told me. I didn't say anything. I just went home and cried all night.
And that was it?
No. I had another date. I get pretty lonely. This time they arrested the man I was with. He was a Russian agent. On Christmas Eve, 4 men called me up and sang me a song. Would you like to hear the words?
It doesn't matter.
They go, "The flying saucer came down one day and taught her a brand new way to play. And what it was, she will not say. But she takes me out of this world."
I'm sorry.
Now will you go away and leave me alone?
Yes.
Aren't you going to ask me the big question?
No.
Everybody does.
Yeah, well, not me.
You will. sooner or later.
Maybe. Look, can I take you home?
No.
Can I see you again? Please.
I don't know. I'm afraid to let myself like anyone.
Trust me, will you?
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'll wait here for you tomorrow night.
All right.
The next night, I went back to the coffee joint to wait for her. I knew she got through about 4 a.m. I got there about 15 minutes early.
Mr. Benides?
Yes. Say, you're the chief of the security section, aren't you?
You have a good memory. You mind if I sit down?
Well, I'm expecting someone.
Yes, I know.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to talk to you.
Go ahead.
You probably know that we've been trying to gain the confidence of this girl for some years now.
Yes.
And apparently you've succeeded where we've failed.
Well, not really.
In any event, you seem to be making some progress.
She may not even show up.
I think she will. Now, I'm going to ask you to help us.
Help? In what way can I help?
We have reason to believe that this girl is a courier for some alien power.
On what do you base that?
Well, there was the incident of the saucer, of course. We've definitely established that it came from some other planet. And recently, she's been throwing messages inside bottles into the ocean.
What sort of messages?
They're always the same. I have one right here. You're welcome to read it and see if it makes any sense. We've had every decoding expert in the service trying to break it. But we can't seem to find the key.
I see.
Now, she's thrown literally hundreds of these messages in bottles into the sea. We've got many of them, but not all, naturally. Now, what we're most interested in is locating the contact.
Naturally.
And that's where you fit in. We'd like you to gain this girl's confidence even further. Try to find out just what these messages mean, and beyond that, what the saucer said to her. You'll be doing us a favor and your country a great service.
You're certain this is some subversive activity on her part.
How else can you explain the fact that she won't tell us her secret?
Maybe because it's hers, and everybody has a right to have something of his own.
Are you, trying to tell me that you won't cooperate?
I didn't say that.
I'd like to remind you, Mr. Benides, that you have a duty to us.
I know that. I also have a duty to myself and to God. Now, if you'll excuse me. I folded the bottle message and put it in my pocket. I waited for her to show up. The minutes went by, and the hours, and I knew she wasn't coming. Or she had come and seen me with the chief and changed her mind. That's when I left the cafe and walked down to the beach. That's when I dragged her out of the surf before she could follow one of her bottles into the water. How do you feel now? Are you cold?
Why should you care?
I do.
Is that why you were sitting with the security chief in the cafe?
I didn't arrange that meeting. He asked me to spy on you.
I suppose he told you about the bottles.
Yes.
Wonder how much of the taxpayers' money they spent gathering them up. I think they'd get tired of it. All the writing in the bottles is the same.
Maybe you could have saved a lot of trouble.
Do you think so? All of them. Judges, jailers, jukeboxes, people. Do you really think it would have saved me a minute's trouble if I told them the whole truth at the very beginning?
Wouldn't it?
No. They wouldn't have believed me. What they wanted was a new weapon. Some super scientific super science from some alien super race. Science. It's all they think of.
It's pretty important.
Would it ever have occurred to them that this super race from another planet might have super feelings? Or super longings? Super loneliness? No. All they think about is weapons. Isn't it time you asked me what the saucer said?
No.
They all asked me.
I don't have to ask you. I know.
You know?
Let me read it to you. There is in certain living souls a quality of loneliness unspeakable. So great it must be shared as company is shared by lesser beings. Such a loneliness is mine. So know by this that in immensity there is one lonelier than you.
How did you know?
It's the message you put in the bottles. The same message that some lonely, strange being in some other world put into a bottle, only his bottle was a flying saucer and sent across space to you.
You knew.
I'm lonely too. Look at me. I've never had the love of a woman. They think I'm pretty ugly.
You're not ugly.
No. I don't feel ugly right now.
Say it again. The message from the saucer.
Know by this that in immensity there is one lonelier than you.
I wonder if whoever first wrote it has found someone.
I think perhaps he has. She looked at me and said nothing. But it was as if a light came from her. More light than even the practiced moon could cast. Among the many things it meant was the fact that even to loneliness there is an end for those who are lonely enough, long enough.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features I Am a Nucleus by Stephen Barr, the story of a man who felt he was hexed because his comfortably untidy world had suddenly turned into a monstrosity of order. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Saucer of Loneliness, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Theodore Sturgeon and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Elaine Rost as Janet, Nat Polan as Jason, William Keane as the sergeant, Jock McGregor as the cop, Mandel Kramer as the chief, and Wendell Holmes as the senator. This is Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production.
The Crane Library is looking for student volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a 2-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
Nikkei National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pianese Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
Ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I
breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow across the and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're...
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's all the time that we have for Skull Tall tonight.